If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Amateur Traveler, episode 862. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about Mayan pyramids, cave tubing adventures, snorkeling with sharks, rays, and a manatee as we go to Belize and Guatemala. This is Chris Christensen from Amateur Traveler. Let's talk about Belize and Guatemala. This is Chris from Amateur Traveler, and there is no guest for today's show, but it's going to be one of those solo shows talking about a recent travel I did. As mentioned in the intro, it was a trip to Belize and Guatemala, specifically to Belize and to Tikal in Guatemala and a little more around that area, but I'll get into more details about that later. So basically what happened here is I was supposed to be doing a trip to Africa in the fall of 2023 this year, and this was for the TBEX conference, and that got pushed off into next year. And so I ended up with 2 weeks of vacation that I needed something to do. And I was looking for what I could do with 1 week vacation that would get me some new countries, countries I've never been to before and had not been to either Belize or Guatemala. And my wife did not have the time available, so I was looking at what I could do that she would be okay with me going, and this is a tropical area, and she's not so good with the hot and the sticky, and so she was okay with me going on this, but I didn't want to go by myself, but so I was interested in a small group tour. And one of the small group companies that we've talked about on the show before, but I had not used before, is G Adventures. If you listen back in the show archives, you'll hear various shows that talk about G. I can remember we had a show, for instance, talking about going to Haiti with G Adventures. They have a good reputation. They've worked with a number of my travel blogger friends over the years, but I had not personally used them. And I found this trip that I could do arriving on Saturday, staying for a week, and leaving on Sunday. And Belize, where you'd fly into, is close enough that you can fly in from the U.S. and Canada on the same day and start that tour and fly back and the day that you finish. Now, I usually recommend you come a day ahead just in case something happens with your flights. I did not do that in this case, but fortunately I was flying from California where I live, and I flew through LA, which I didn't think would have thunderstorms or other kind of summer issues since I was doing this trip in August. So I was able to do a 1 week trip and really packed in a lot, as you'll hear in this particular adventure. Now, I should say that G Adventures did sponsor this trip, although not in the usual sense. They did not reach out to me and say, hey, Chris, would you like to go to Belize? But I picked this trip, wanted to do it, and reached out to them and said, hey, would you be interested in sponsoring? And they said, sure, in exchange for a blog post and a podcast. And this is that podcast. And then they paid for the tour cost, and then for also half of the single supplement, because I snore and I didn't want to share a room. I paid for meals and for flights, and then for the additional adventures. And this is definitely one of those tours where I would recommend that you do some things that are not included if you want to have an even better trip. And I'll point out as we go along what things I did that are included in that. The usual question I ask people is, why should you go? And I hope that you got a sense for that just in the first few seconds of this podcast. I was able to stand on top of three Mayan pyramids. I was able to go cave tubing through a cave in Belize and able to go snorkeling with sharks and rays and a turtle and a manatees and a barracuda and, you know, obviously coral reef there off the coast of Belize. Really great trip, packed in quite a lot into that 1 week vacation. And that's why I think this is both a good itinerary for you, specifically the G Adventures Belize and Tikal trip, which is what I did, but also two very interesting countries. You can do this on your own as well, although it's a little hard to pack in quite as much as I was able to doing it with the tour. So the itinerary for this trip is you start in Belize. You start on Saturday night with a meeting that orients you with the group. And then on Sunday, you drive all the way to Guatemala, all the way across Belize. It's not a big country. And then go to Tikal the next day. That's included in the trip. And then come back into Belize and go to San Ignacio, which has a lot of tours for adventure travel that we'll talk about there that are not included but definitely recommended. Then you go to Key Cocker, that's C-A-Y-E, Key Cocker, which is one of the islands off the coast by the Barrier Reef in Belize, and do some beach time there, including snorkel trip, which I talked about, which is not one of the included activities. And then basically that's where the trip ends. And then you make your way back to catch your flight on the last day there. One of the interesting things about Belize, it is really surprisingly close to the U.S. since it is in the Yucatan Peninsula. I was able to catch a 6:30 flight from San Francisco, fly through Los Angeles, and the opening meeting for the tour started at 6 p.m., and I hit the hotel that the tour was meeting at 5:58 of the same day. So it's a little bit of a long day, but it's one time zone off from where I was in the Pacific, because they are two time zones off but don't do daylight savings time. And was able to meet up with our guide. Our guide was Susie. It was her 97th trip that she was guiding with G Adventures. She is originally from England, but lives in Guatemala, lives in Antigua, Guatemala, and speaks fluent Spanish, is also in her copious free time or has previously been a dive instructor and traveled all over the world. Very interesting person, great guide. I've had world-class guides before, and Susie definitely ranked with that, and everybody on the trip agreed with that. The other thing I'd say is I'm just going to be upfront with you. I'm going to talk about an itinerary, and I'm going to talk about this tour. You're not going to have as good a time as I am, and I apologize for that. It just, I was there with a really great group of people. You'll have a fine group. I'm sure they'll be terrific, but really was a good group. It really gelled very well, and Susie said it was one of the best groups in terms of cohesion that she had seen. We had a couple from Leeds in the UK, he a photographer, she a researcher, a man originally from the Philippines but living in Dallas working in telecom, a nurse practitioner from Nashville who works in a clinic for refugees and immigrants, an assistant TV director from Toronto, Canada, school teacher from London, and a college professor from central Pennsylvania who had a minor in archaeology, which will come up again later in the story, and a Hawaii cruise ship crew member originally from California. Great group of people, diverse group of people. And one of the reasons that I chose to do both a G Adventures small group tour and a small group tour is that it would have been fun to do this on my own, but it wouldn't have been as fun as doing this with a group of people that I got to know them. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, at Amateur Traveler, we do the small group tours, but also why I do recommend the small group tours as a good alternative to independent travel. So we met on that Saturday night. We got our orientation. We were going to leave the next day. Now, this is an adventure tour, and both in the terms of the type of activities available, but also in terms of the style of travel. G Adventures does this tour in a different way. Also, they have a higher-end tour, which is a National Geographic branded tour. So it's G and National Geographic working together, where you're going to get a private bus and you're going to have more included activities. And, you know, that's, you're going to pay a little more for that than you would for this trip. The list price on this trip is $1,299. Right now, for instance, it's on sale for $1,104. So it can depend on what time you go, whether you can get a deal. At least the last three people who booked this tour for the tour that I was on were able to get a 25% discount because they booked last minute. So that is something you need to look at in terms of what the cost of the tours will be. But one of the reasons that I say that it's a lower cost tour and that they do the higher end tour is that our first adventure was traveling on public transportation in Belize. And so in this tour, they use public transportation in Belize because they believe the Belizeans keep their buses in pretty good shape. They don't do it in Guatemala because they don't have as much faith in the public transportation in that country. But on that first Sunday, we did go from the Trip Hotel, and the Trip Hotel for my particular trip was the Golden Bay Belize Hotel in Belize City. Now, they won't always stay in all the same hotels because they're trying to spread the love around to different properties. But that was a good hotel. It had a great rooftop restaurant where we had breakfast, a really good restaurant, although get there early because, as you'll see with every different restaurant we went to in Belize and Guatemala, the service was a little slower. Good service, but not really fast, and so always allow extra time. But then we went down to the public bus station. We grabbed a public bus, and this is an old U.S. school bus that has not been fixed up much since it was used in the U.S., so, you know, no seat belts, the usual school bus seats, except not enough of them. So we bought tickets for the bus, but I don't know why they bothered to sell tickets, because basically when we left the Belize City bus station on a busy Sunday, there were three people for every two seats, and the rest of us were standing in the aisles and trying to find some place. We were supposed to pretend to sit down just long enough to leave the bus station for some reason. I'm sure there's some rule about everybody's supposed to be in a seat, which was just impossible. And I was probably on my feet on the bus for about 40 minutes until it was a local bus, so we stopped very often and people got on and got off. But as we got further and further from Belize City, more people got off and I was able to get a seat. So, you know, there's your first part of your adventure. No air conditioning in the bus, but the windows are open. It was fine. You know, if that's not the kind of travel for you where you don't want to have an interaction with the locals, then maybe think about the higher end trip. But the tour that I did had a good sense of adventure. And so this was just part of the adventure. You then take the bus towards the Guatemala border. It doesn't quite go all the way there. We got on another private bus with a contractor who we would use later in the week for some of the cave adventures we did. And they took us to the Belize and Guatemala border. We paid a fee to get out of Belize, even though we'd really just gotten to Belize. So you have to pay a $30 Belize to leave the country. And that is $15 U.S. So the Belizean dollar is pegged to the U.S. dollar 2-to-1. And so, for instance, getting from the airport in Belize to the hotel was 30 U.S. dollars or 60 Belize dollars. And so it's always very easy. In fact, you can use either U.S. dollars or Belize dollars everywhere we were, and you might get one or the other in change. And so it's almost like they were interchangeable. I have a picture of a sign that says 30 Belize dollars, but I think we paid 20 U.S. dollars to leave. We went into the Guatemala border, got our passports stamped, and met up with a private bus driver. And then normally at this point, your itinerary goes to Flores, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But our group were all interested in going to a second Mayan site. Now, the Tikal site that we were going to go to the next day is one of the largest sites in terms of what has been excavated, but that also means it's very popular and can get crowded. And so we were interested in going to one called Yaxha, which is Y-A-X-H-A. This is down a bumpy road to get to Yaxha, and it's not as crowded as Tikal, but also not as a largest site. But we met up with a guide in Yaxha, and we're able to get our first introduction into one of these sites, three sites that I ended up going to from the Mayan classical period. And the Mayan classical period runs from about 200 to 900 AD, and then this civilization fell, and they don't know exactly why, but all these big cities went into ruin and were covered over. And so as you're in places like Yaxha, you can still see that there are a number of hills around this Mayan site, and each of those hills is an unexcavated building. And there are quite a few of them. you'll see as many unexcavated buildings in Yasha as you'll see excavated buildings. And one of the reasons is that it takes work, obviously, to unexcavate something, but also after you do, that site will then be exposed to the elements and will start to degrade. And so sometimes for preservation, they will leave things covered with brush and trees, everything that are growing out of these mounds. And when they do excavate them, first you come in and you cut down the trees, and then you have to dig out the dirt, and then you finally get down to the kind of things that you see in archaeological digs with actually using trowels and brushes and things. But first you have to get rid of just a whole lot of dirt that has filled in this jungle site over the years since 900 AD or so. In these cities, you're going to tend to see these large pyramids that are fairly typical for the Mayan cities. And you're also going to see stelae, and that's the plural of these very intricately carved stones that are often telling you about a particular ruler, and they have enough information on them that helps the archaeologist date this particular ruler, and then it has usually the ruler on there in profile with an amazingly complicated headdress and such, and you'll see that, for instance, we saw it first at Yasha. And then you'll also see ball courts where they played the famous ball game that the Mayans did, where either the winners were sacrificed to the gods or the losers were sacrificed to the gods. There's some controversy about that. Usually it'd be you're playing with somebody perhaps you've defeated in battle. And then there are also a number of smaller pyramid sites that are often, we were told, noble houses. And so they might not only go up maybe 10 feet, and then there would have been a house on top for the nobility. And you are out here in the jungle. So we saw leafcutter ants blazing a trail through the underbrush, and we heard howler monkeys. We saw spider monkeys. We saw cudamundi, which is in the raccoon family, kind of a reddish striped tail, skinny raccoon looking animal. And you still get a chance in Yasha and in the other sites that went to climb the pyramids. Now, in Yasha and in Tikal, you don't climb right on the pyramids, for most of them at least. For the major pyramids, you're climbing up wooden staircases, so you don't have to have the best footing to be able to go up those stairs, because they're definitely easier to climb than the pyramid itself, and you are on a wooden platform so that you're protecting the site itself. Because all the feet of visitors, even in some place like Yasha that doesn't get as many visitors, would damage the pyramid. And so you're not standing on the pyramid itself. Although with some of the smaller pyramids, they were still allowing the group to climb them. And this is the place where you feel like you're going to break your neck because there are uneven steps and things like that going up. But as you climb the pyramids, you get these great views off into the jungle, because you're in the middle of the jungle and you get some lakes around you at Yasha. We were there in the rain off and on, because you're in the jungle in Belize and Guatemala. You're going to see rain off and on. That is just what you're going to see. I don't think I ever saw a perfectly blue sky our whole trip. There were always some clouds somewhere and sometimes a little rain on us, but never really got in the way of our trip. Oh, speaking of rain, so I forgot to tell the story. When I first came into Belize City, I just grabbed a cab from the airport to the hotel. And the cab driver says, "Oh, hey, do you mind if I pick up some friends?" Well, I don't really think he knew them, but they were some people who were hitchhiking into town. And I think they may have given him a little money for the ride too. But they immediately broke into a Belizean Creole. And this is a English-based Creole, so it's a mixture of English and especially the language from some of the original slaves who were brought over from Africa. Very cryptic language, and fascinating to hear them talk in this Creole as we were heading into town. And of course, right after we picked them up, the skies opened up with rain and it just poured. So I felt better about the fact that we had given these folks a ride, but that's just kind of the way things work in Belize. ButcherBox is sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler, and I just got my first ButcherBox. I've got packed with dry ice came 4 packets of ground beef, 3 packets of chicken breasts, 2 steaks, some pork ribs, and some sirloin tips. Now, I've got a great recipe for what to do with the chicken. At least one of those packets of chicken is going to become Greek chicken and rice. And if you go to chris2x.com, I've got a recipe there that's an Instant Pot recipe. But I'm not good with steak, and so I'm going to take advantage of the fact that ButcherBox has recipes on their site at butcherbox.com to learn some great recipes to do with those steaks. You can have ButcherBox deliver meat to your doorstep. Free shipping as always, curated to custom box plans. You can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. Also like the fact that I could recycle all the box and shipping material that they sent. Sign up at butcherbox.com/traveler and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. Choose salmon, chicken, breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/traveler. If you got recipes for ribs or steaks, send them my way as I send my thanks to ButcherBox.com for sponsoring this episode of Amateur Traveler.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
So, but back to Guatemala, we saw Yasha, and it's hot as you're climbing these pyramids, and so make sure you bring some water and some insect repellent and some sunscreen. You don't need the sunscreen as much when you're in the jungle canopy, but when you're up on the temples, then you kind of pop up above the canopy and you can get some sun. That was not so much our issue as so much as bringing enough water so that you didn't get dehydrated on this particular trip. So then we took the hour's worth of bumpy ride back towards Flores, where we stayed. I don't know how many of you have been to Flores, but it is a touristy town. It is in the middle of a lake, Lake Pitan Itza, and it is not a big town. It's probably a five-minute walk from one of end of the island to the other, and then there's a causeway heading off to a larger city. But this is kind of this little tourist enclave for people who are predominantly coming here to visit Tikal. Beautiful little city, definitely touristy, you know, restaurants, hotels, bars, shops, and things like that in this colorful little island. And we got back, and some people just went right to bed because we were already exhausted. This was day one, and we'd already climbed a pyramid or two. I climbed one. Some of the other people in the group climbed more than one. And then, you know, grabbed some dinner and started off early the next day for Tikal. And Tikal is like Yasha, but more so. It's such a big site that you can't see all of it really in one day. And when you're in the main plaza, you're still a mile walk back to your bus or your car in the parking lot. So the guide that we met basically plotted a course to take us around Temple Number 4 and Temple Number 5 and then go to the main plaza as well. And we climbed two different pyramids before we got to the main plaza. And then those who still had energy left climbed some of the structures in the main plaza. That was about the point where I needed to get a cool drink and just sit in the shade for about 15 minutes instead. But just a fascinating site. It is just so tremendously huge. Of the Mayan sites that I have been to, it is the most impressive one that I have seen. And that includes the ones I've seen in the Yucatan and the ones in Belize and Guatemala. It is not that it was the largest city. One of the ones I'll go to later was actually a larger city they now know, but more has been excavated at Tikal. And so if as you're climbing these pyramids in the jungle, it may look familiar because for those of you who saw the original Star Wars movie, this was where the rebels take off from to go attack the Death Star. It played the part of the jungle moon of Yavin 4 in the Star Wars movie, but it's just this fascinating Mayan city sticking out from this jungle canopy. And again, all of this from the Mayan classical period. And our understanding now, having spent time with three different archaeologists, three different tour guides doing three different Mayan cities, is we don't know what caused these Mayan, the collapse of the classical Mayan age. They think it was likely related to a drought and to instability in the political structure because of that. They can tell that a drought happened around the same time as the collapse. But then some of the cities further north, like Chichen Itza and such up in Mexico, would be cities from later periods after this collapse of these cities in this area. The Mayans didn't all go away. There are still Mayans. This is still a heavily Mayan population in this part of Guatemala and in parts of Belize, the western part of Belize. So the Mayan people are still here. They haven't gone anywhere, but there's still a number of Mayan languages being spoken in the area. And there are still some places, like in Yasha, they were showing us where some of the locals would come and still perform some Mayan rituals. No human sacrifice anymore. They don't allow that. But still, some of the other rituals are allowed to be performed by the Mayan people inside of this area. So Tikal is amazing. The reason why Tikal is added to this tour, that's Belize and Tikal, is that Tikal is worth seeing. If you're anywhere near Tikal, I would suggest you get there. And this tour was a great way to do that. Again, you're in the jungle. I went through my water bottle, brought three more cold drinks from vendors along the way because it'd get warm. And fortunately, you're not in the direct sun that much. When we were up in the pyramids, it was particularly warm, but just worth it. Just an amazing experience. Went then back to Flores, took some naps and a swim and had some lunch, and then, you know, ended our trip in Flores with going to one of the rooftop bars and watching the sunset, which is a Flores thing to do. We were at the Hotel Isla de Flores to the Mangoes bar at the top. I think I had a fancy drink with the lit on fire cinnamon stick in it. It's a very great way to end our particular Guatemala part of this tour. And so then the next day we got in the bus and went back to the Guatemalan Belize border. You don't have to pay to get in this time, and grabbed a bus. And then our next, so just to wrap up the Guatemala part of our trip, Yasha was extra, so that was $75 extra. Tikal was included. And then there were other things that you could have done, like jungle zip lining, which had been $40. You know, the sunset drinks was obviously extra cost. There were boat trips that you could do, and you could swim in the lake around the city of Flores. I don't think anybody did any of those. We did swim in the pool of the place we stayed. We stayed at the Hotel Peten, P-E-T-E-N, which is the name of this region of Guatemala. Lovely hotel, small indoor-outdoor pool, no elevator. So after we were climbing pyramids, there were no elevators in this whole part of the trip. And in fact, I think the last elevator we saw was in Belize City at the hotel we stayed there. And so our legs got a little bit of a workout, but, you know, it's good exercise. So we went back to Belize the next day. And that day, the entire group had decided to do an optional activity, which was a cave tubing adventure. And I don't know if you've ever done this. I had done blackwater rafting in New Zealand and loved it. Now, that was much colder water, and so you needed to wear a wetsuit, and it was also much more claustrophobic. You had just you and your tube, and there were places that it would just you and your tube fit. In this particular adventure, we got in the bus, you dropped our stuff off at the hotel, got in the bus, and then drove halfway back to Belize City, literally halfway across Belize, to get to the particular cave where we were doing our cave tubing, and had our lunch when we got there, because by this point, I think it was maybe 3 o'clock or so, or 2 or 3 o'clock, and the only trouble with that was they had the rum punch with lunch that was pretty strong. And I was feeling that as we walked the 20 minutes to where we put in our inner tubes. after lunch. I think that rum punch went right to my head, but good Belizean lunch with beans and rice and chicken and a strong rum punch. And then we got in the water, and as soon as we did this 20-minute trek through the jungle, carrying our tubes, crossing the river a couple times, you know, with our guides pointing out some of the local flora and fauna and seeing the leafcutter ants again, we get in the water, we're cooling off, and then the guides actually lashed our inner tubes together into a makeshift raft, basically two inner tubes wide. And then we had one guide at the front and one guide at the end. So there were 10 of us in our group, counting Susie, our guide, and then two guides from the Cave Tubing Company. And they basically do all the work. So they're the ones who are either swimming, pulling you, or walking, pulling you, or pushing you, or guiding you into this current or that current as you're going through this adventure. But you're going through a cave. You all have headlamps on and helmets. And the main reason for the helmet is so you can see what's going on, so you can point your light up or down and see wherever you're looking. And we cruise to a certain part of the cave, which was a larger opening, where you could still see in the distance a skylight in the cave. So you could see what would have been a cenote, I suppose, if you're in the Yucatan, we'd call it that. But there's a skylight in the cave, and they said, do you want to go explore? And everybody's like, yes, because it was that kind of group. And so we got out of our tubes. Apparently not every group does, which surprised me, and clambered up the rocks and then up some steps to see around a little bit, and then came around in a loop and came to a place where you could still see some artifacts left by the Mayans of the classical age who had given offerings in this cave. And so you could see broken pottery and pieces like that. Now, I'll talk about another cave in a bit where you can actually see remains of humans that were sacrificed, but that was not this cave. And then we got back into the water, some of more adventurous than the group actually doing the jump in the dark into the water, and then went through some more claustrophobic areas where you could reach up and touch the top of the cave. Don't touch the stalactites because they take a long time to grow. And into a place where a bat was in this small space. You know, it turns out that bats navigate by echolocation, and when people are screaming, they have a hard time navigating, which you might know. And yet you might still scream when you find yourself in a small enclosed location with a bat. And so we came back into tubes work, got back in that, and then had a leisurely basically float down to where we had gotten in and got back out of our tubes. There was a moment here where we're back in the tubes. We've done this exploration. We've seen the artifacts from the classical Mayan period. And I was just lying there, just loving it, playing my light off the roof of the cave, thinking I could die now a happy man. There's something about these caving experiences in the dark, in the water, that I think are just a great experience. So this was an optional experience, but I highly, highly recommend to do it. And everybody in my group would also recommend that. That's a $90 experience that added on there. Now, the next day, we had options, and the group broke up into multiple different groups. And so there was an option to do the Crystal Cave, where there's a lot of crystalline structures. That was like $110. And then there was the ATM Cave, and that's the one I mentioned. That's a very well-known cave, and that's the Aktun Tunakel Mukanal Cave. And, you know, I probably don't speak Mayan. And that is basically the cave that is another water-filled cave where you'll actually see the remains of some ancient Mayans. I did not choose to do that one because, in part, I had just done the other cave experience, but also in part because you can't bring a camera in. And it wasn't something that I felt I could cover quite as well in a blog post, for instance, since I couldn't take pictures, were some unfortunate incidents that caused the no camera rule, where someone dropped an SLR on a skull of a ancient Mayan skeleton that was there, or somebody stepped backwards trying to take a picture and stepped on the leg of, you know, and broke things. So at one point, all tourists were thrown out of the cave, and the tour companies basically worked with the Belize government to talk about, well, what rules can we have? And so you now have to go in a smaller group. The guide to guest ratio is low and no cameras are allowed, just so you're paying a little more attention to what you're doing. So I didn't do that, but some people on our trip did that, loved it. One couple did the Raptor Center. So they had their pictures taken with hawks and other birds of prey, owls. Looks like they had a great time. I had done that before in Ireland, and it's fascinating if you haven't spent some time with birds of prey. Can be very interesting, but I instead did another Mayan site, and that's the Caracol site. And one of the reasons I did that is one of the members of our tour, I mentioned that somebody had a minor in archaeology. So she had written actually about Tikal when she was 10, doing a book report. So going with somebody who had been wanting to visit Tikal since they were 10 was a great experience, because she was practically in tears seeing the place. And I think we enjoyed it more appreciating it with her. But then she had been offered a chance to do one of the original digs at Caracol back when the place was being opened up for tourism about 20, 23 years ago, and had turned it down for other opportunities. And so I went with her and another traveling companion, and then Leo was our guide, and Leo had been on 3 seasons of digs at Caracol. And so as we're touring the site with Leo, Leo could say, this is where I was digging, and this is what we found here. And my buddy who was digging over here found this other sculpture, or, you know, there were bodies that were still over here. And we don't know if that's people who had come back during the collapse, or whether there was disease that had happened, or we don't know what exactly happened here, but could give us a much more interesting experiential guide to this site. Now, the Caracol site is much smaller than Tikal, but that's because less is excavated. Turns out it's actually, they now know, a larger city. In fact, the original Caracol site would have been twice as large as Belize City, which has 100,000 residents, and probably with twice as many people as well. And so it was a huge city here in the jungle. People didn't used to go there very much because it was out of the way. And when I say it was out of the way, it used to be that it was a 5-hour drive from San Ignacio, and a 5-hour drive in a kidney busting, axle breaking kind of road to get there. Caracol actually was named for a sea snail that is in the area that has a spiral shell, because it felt like that's what the road was like to get there, is that you were spiraling in. And the tour companies couldn't make very much money doing those sort of tours. First of all, people didn't want to do that kind of very arduous trip, but also it was damaging their vehicles, and so you just couldn't make a profit at it. There is an effort in Belize using some international investment funds to build a lovely road all the way to Caracol. Now, unfortunately, when they build that, that means that it will be much more heavily touristed than it is today. When we arrived, there were 3 other vehicles, and I think we were the last vehicle of the day. When we left, we were the only vehicle in the parking lot besides one belonging to the Rangers. And so it is like having your own private Mayan site right now. It is not a 5-hour trek to get there. It is still a 2-hour trek, the first half of which on a really good road, and then the other half, as Leo said, a complimentary Belizean massage. And so paved road, and then you get on the road that is the dirt road that they're getting ready to pave for, you know, a number of miles, and then it gets turns into the old road that is, you know, very beat up and very narrow, and, you know, finally get to Caracol, and it's in itself an adventure to get there. But a beautiful Mayan site, again, not a large site, smaller than Yasha and smaller than Tikal in terms of what is excavated. There also aren't that many stelae there. There are some in a covered area by the main visitor center, which could use a little work, the main visitor center there. And they're a little hard to make out because they have degraded a bit as they were exposed to the elements. But then there were also 30 that were taken at one point early in the excavation by someone and have disappeared. I think 2 ended up in museum and the other 28 are unaccounted for. And so you won't see as many of those. There's a couple of replicas, but not as many as you'd see at Tikal or Yasha. But then the main pyramid site, the main pyramid area, is interesting because it's a larger pyramid in terms of the width, because at the top there are 3 individual temples. And so you can climb that pyramid. No wooden platforms and no wooden steps here, but there probably will be when they're opening up to cruise ships and tour buses, as they hope to do in the future. In some of the places, Leo told us that when it was originally uncovered, you could still see that on top of the stonework, there was stucco. Some of that was still visible, but a lot had already worn off in the 20 years since this has been uncovered. But some still had original painting. You could still make out red paint, for instance, in one area, but he said when it was originally uncovered, it was almost pristine, having been preserved by being covered up. And again, most of the site here is still covered up because it's quite a few square miles, and it's not clear how much they will uncover in the future. There's not a lot of current excavation still going on there. There's some archaeologists there, and we got to see where our tour member would have lived if she had done that dig early on in her career. So that's Caracol. We then finished up San Ignacio. In San Ignacio, we stayed in the Midas Belize Hotel, lovely hotel, also used by the higher-end tour, the National Geographic branded trip that GeoAdventures does there. So a place you might be interested in staying if you're going there on your own. And then the next day we caught the public bus, this time not the Sunday bus, so not as busy, and also not the local bus, the express bus, so everybody had a seat, back to Belize City. We got to Belize City. Taxis had been arranged to meet us that took us to the ferry, and then we took the ferry out to Key Caulker. And Key Caulker is a real beach town, and I loved Key Caulker, but it's quite different from the rest of the trip because now we're in a very typical beach town, lots of bikinis, sand everywhere, including the streets are mostly sand, people doing barbecue carts right on the road there, different bars and restaurants and hotels. Predominantly, it's a small city on a small island, so the whole island is a mile long and four blocks wide. There's another half to the island, but a hurricane cut the island in half in 1961, and so that southern part of the island, which also has an airport, although more about that later, and it has about 2,000 residents and then some number of tourists there as well. Obviously, the main thing that you're there for are the sea life and the reef experiences. So I would not go to Key Caulker on your own unless you're planning to get out and actually go to the reef and do a snorkeling experience. Our whole tour group did, although one person ended up with a traveler's belly issue, so she had to do it a day later. But we had 2 days in Key Caulker, and all of us did the snorkeling trip on one day or the other, and then we all did a sunset cruise on the final day. And that was, and both of those were added on. The full-day snorkel trip was $90, and the sunset sailing was $60. Both of them definitely worth it. Before we did that, though, when we got to Key Caulker, we had guides that guide us around the island, and our guides were special because GeoAdventures likes to work with local charities, and one of the local charities they're working with here is Bikes with Purpose. And Bikes with Purpose is high school kids who are your guides who are giving you an introduction into Key Caulker, and they're kids from the Ocean Academy, which is the local school that was started on the island so that kids didn't have to go off the island on the ferry to go get to school. So it's a high school. And so we did a tour where we got on some old cruiser bikes and pedaled down the island to go first to Ocean Academy, to their school, where we had introduction into the school and what they were doing there. They introduced to the Ocean Academy way, be mindful, know your passion, make money, and create legacies. So these kids are doing this entrepreneurial adventure, this Bikes with Purpose, as part of what this high school is about. And so they took us to school. They also gave us a crash course in Creole in terms of how to say mother, which is mada, or ma, father, which is fada, or pa, brother, which is breda, sister, girl, which is gyal, boy, which is boy, and various other words. And then they took us around the island to some of the typical touristy sites. And so, for instance, we went to Stingray Beach and got to see the stingrays in the water there. This is in the water right off the Iguana Reef Inn, this beach. And then there also is a small area where they're encouraging the growth of seahorses. We're able to see one seahorse, but quite a few stingrays in there. And then went a little further down, for instance, and got a chance to feed the tarpon. Tarpon, native fish, they're endangered right now, and so they are protected. And there's a tarpon dock where you can put a small fish in your hand and hold it over the water. And there's a video in the blog post that I did about this where you're holding the fish for a few seconds. One of the tarpon will come and jump and grab the fish out of your hand in a very startling fashion. And it doesn't matter how many people this has happened to before you, somehow it's hard to be prepared for that. So that was the tour that we got from Bikes with Purpose. So it was fun to spend time with those kids. And then again, the main trip that was that day-long snorkeling trip on the island. And that was quite memorable. In terms of snorkeling trips, and I've been in snorkeling all around the world, I would say this trip is in the top half of the things I've done, not for the colorful nature of the fish, because they weren't as colorful as fish I've seen elsewhere, or the coral wasn't as colorful as I've seen elsewhere, but the variety was stunning. So on the way out, we saw dolphins, and then we stopped to see a sea turtle, and then we stopped to see a manatee, and then we went to the place on the reef where the rays and the basking sharks hang out, and saw quite a lot of sharks and rays that we were swimming with there. Fortunately, basking sharks are safe to swim with, but you know, still fascinating to see. Did another stop to see some other coral. It was fascinating to me because as you parked on this reef, as you've moored the boat and stopped the boat, and you jump off into the water to do your snorkeling adventure, you're following your snorkeling guide here, there was so much seagrass on the bottom, and it was almost like they'd parked on the lawn, is the feeling that it felt like. So a very interesting area, wonderful snorkeling experience. Would highly recommend it. The last day, basically a lot of people just hung out and relaxed or potentially did other activities. There are other activities available to do on Key Cocker. You could rent a kayak, you could hire a bike, you could do a scuba diving trip. The one thing you couldn't do when we were there is you could not get on a plane and go fly over the Blue Hole. And you may have seen, if you see pictures of Belize, you may have seen this deep hole in the ocean called the Blue Hole. And there were definitely people on our trip who wanted to do that. It's a little more expensive experience. It's not one that G necessarily reps. They don't necessarily recommend it one particular group or another because they're not sure about that they can represent the quality of that particular trip. But it didn't matter because the airport was closed. They were refinishing the airport. That was something we learned when I was there, which was interesting because I had a flight to fly off of the island to get back to the airport on Sunday. And remember, I was doing this all within the time period of 1 week. So I was quite surprised to learn that the airport was closed and I had a ticket for an airplane trip. But it turns out it's not that difficult to get to the Belize airport from Key Cocker. I caught the 6:30 ferry on the day I left on that Sunday. I was able to make a 10 o'clock flight in Belize City. So you take the ferry in, and then you take a taxi out to the airport, and was there in plenty of time. In fact, the people who took the 7:30 ferry would have made it for my flight, although it would have been uncomfortable. So certainly if you give yourself something like 3.5 hours to get from Key Cocker to the airport, that seems to work out just fine. That's the activities that we did on the trip. So we stayed in three places. We stayed one night in Belize City, two nights in Flores, Guatemala, two nights in San Ignacio in Belize, and then back to Key Cocker for three nights, and then back off again. So quick trip, two countries, great sights, worth doing. And thanks to Susie, who was a great guide, who made it a lot of fun along the way, always giving us enough information so that we could make good decisions about what to do. And of course, for my wonderful traveling companions, who made it a real fun trip. And I hope you find traveling companions, when you do this trip, as good as the ones that I did, although you probably won't. And the usual questions I ask people at the end is, you're standing in the prettiest place. Where are you standing? What are you looking at? And if I say prettiest place, I am probably on a pyramid in Tikal. I'm probably on pyramid number 4 in Tikal and looking out at the jungle canopy with other temples poking up from the jungle canopy. Beautiful, beautiful spot. We weren't there at sunset, but I suspect it would be even better at sunset. And then one thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Belize, and you got to say the buses. That was just such a bizarre experience because there were no chickens on the bus. It was not a chicken bus, but it was that sort of, how does this system work? And yet, I think it works for the locals. I think it's an affordable means of transportation for them. But certainly, when you're not used to that experience and you're watching people get on the bus and you're thinking the bus is already full, it is kind of one of those fun, learn what it likes to be a local kind of moments. One of the things that's interesting about Belize, of course, I mentioned the strong Creole, but the official language is English, so you can get by in English fine. Guatemala, of course, the official language is Spanish, although Flores is such a touristy area that English is really all you're going to need there as well. And if I had to summarize this trip and these two countries, what I saw of them in three words, I would say adventure, jungle, and beach, because you get the adventure nature of, for instance, cave tubing and what other activities you do there. You get the Mayan, I should have said Mayan because the Mayan, not just the Mayan pyramids, but also the whole Mayan culture and getting to know, for instance, Leo, whose family is Mayan, and getting his view into what it was like to grow up with that culture today as they are now embracing it more than they were able to in previous years now that Belize is independent. And beach, of course, because Key Conquer is just a beautiful beach kind of town. And very easy to love Key Conquer if you like a beach town. One thing I would say, when we were there, there was one thing that was a little unpleasant is when we were there, there happened to be quite a lot of seaweed that had floated in and was now decomposing. And so there was kind of this kind of sewagey smell that Susie said they didn't have even just 2 weeks earlier when she was there. But that was the only thing I think about Key Conquer that I didn't enjoy as much on our particular trip, but not something that they normally have, I am told. And we stayed at a Paradise Hotel in Key Conquer, which I didn't mention. That's my trip. So this is Belize and Tikal from G Adventures. If you're interested in booking that, I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And then there'll be my pictures in this episode. And then also, if you don't normally look at the pictures in this episode, I'll put a link to the blog post that I did about the same adventure, which will have some of my pictures in there so you can see what we're talking about. Special thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. If you're interested in becoming a patron of the show, you can learn more by going to patreon.com/amateurtraveler. For as little as $5 a month, you can support the show, get the show early, get a monthly Zoom call, and an ad-free version of the show. That also means those versions will always have the chapters, even if it's a two-year-old show. I heard from Ezra after the show we did on Lake Garda, Travel to Lake Garda and the Verona Countryside, episode 855, and Ezra said, "This episode brought me back. My family and I spent a week in the area in 2019, rented in San Zeno di Montagna, and would do it again in a heartbeat. Loved exploring the region, alternating lazy days on Riva del Garda. For a special treat, we spent a day at Aqua Gardens Term Verona, and it was magic. Definitely felt like we were living like a local. Hope to go back one day." Thanks so much, Ezra. I also heard from Dan recently, a patron of the show, who commented on the chapters. I remember I would ask information about people who were using chapters. It says, "Hi, Chris. The chapter images are one of the things I love about the Amateur Traveler podcast. At the end of this episode, you asked how we see them. I'm using Pocket Casts on my Samsung Galaxy Note. Usually, though, I also download podcasts to my Windows laptop with G Podder and listen with Winamp through a decent set of speakers. So I take the effort to synchronize playback on Winamp and Pocket Casts to have good sound to accompany the visual. Love the show, Dan." Thanks so much, Dan. And wow, that sounded like a lot of work when you put it that way. With that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening.